A recent U.S. Census Bureau report shows dramatic socioeconomic differences among Asian American groups. As a whole, the median annual income of Asian American families exceeds that of the national average. But the numbers can be misleading. Hmong and Cambodian people, for example, are among the most poverty-stricken populations in the United States, and differences in culture, language, and immigration history place Asian groups at widely varying points on the socioeconomic ladder. Here to explain the complexity and importance of the report are Kimiko Kelly, a research analyst with the Asian Pacific American Legal Center. She's here in studio with me. Nice to have you.
Hi, thank you.
And Terry Au, a staff attorney for the National Asian Pacific American Legal Consortium. She joins us now from Washington, D.C. Nice to have you as well.
Thank you.
Something in the report that actually surprised me, having grown up here in California where there is a large Asian Pacific population, I was surprised to learn that Japanese are not in the top five any longer among Asian Pacific groups. The list is Chinese, Filipino, Asian Indian, Vietnamese, and Korean. Did that surprise either of you?
Well, I think what you're seeing is a huge growth in the Asian community. You're seeing the population is actually majority immigrant, so you're seeing huge growth of communities from immigration. And Japanese Americans, also one thing to be careful about is you have different ways of measuring the population. You can show the population by just the single race population, or you can show the single race plus including multiracial members of that population. So Japanese have a high rate of multiracial rates, so you also have to be careful measuring that population.
Assimilating into the American culture is a, to a large extent, I think, fair to say, a goal of many immigrant groups that come to this country. Would you agree with that, yes?
Yeah, I think it is.
With the incident that happened in Wisconsin involving the hunter, the Hmong hunter, the community's outcry immediately was, oh, my God, people are going to think poorly of us. Mm-hmm. Is this representative of the point of view of immigrants coming to this country from Asia?
Right. Well, I think the fear is because of, well, we have large immigrant communities. For example, in L.A., you have large ethnic enclaves because of these growing immigrant communities and, you know, higher density of these populations. So there's a certain level of insulation that is, does occur because of that. People not knowing about the culture and the different communities, and a certain level of fear built from that kind of differences. And it's a growing thing that we are always going to constantly deal with, is learning about each other's community, growing and learning about the immigrant communities and the immigrant communities learning about our communities and getting along that way.
Terry, what would you say is the, is there such a thing as a political bent for the groups that we're talking about? And if there is, what is it?
Exit polling that was done in Southern California shows that there is a divide. It's not as clear-cut one way or the other. There's also differences among the different ethnicities. I think that, what it does show, and I think what a lot of the exit polling has shown, is that for the community, issues are extremely important, and they're looking for politicians to speak to their issues as opposed to just following one party one way or the other.
Well, affirmative action is one of the issues that is something that is dividing the community, isn't it, Kimiko?
You have a difference in native-born Asians versus foreign-born Asians. They have come from different backgrounds, different nationalities, and, you know, native-born Asians have been struggling in the civil rights for very long. You know, Chinese and Japanese have been here for many, many generations fighting for their rights here. And so you do have differences in the outlook on things such as affirmative action.
What about how the Asian population has geographically situated itself? Southern California is obviously a central location, but they are spreading out around the United States. Where else?
You're, of course, seeing the majority of populations on the coast, East Coast and West Coast, New York, California, but you're seeing strong growth in areas such as the South, Georgia, or inland, such as areas like Nevada, Arizona, Minnesota, you know, where you have a large Hmong population because of different immigration paths. So you are seeing strong growth across the country.
A final thing for the both of you is, where do we go from here? What does this information provide that will help put in better focus the Asian community's role in this country looking forward? Tara, you first.
It is great that this information has come out and that people can see how rich and diverse the community is. The one thing I really hope it does is help to spur other people that collect data and that report out on data, such as academia, other government groups, to report out on Asians. Often we find that the Asian numbers are lumped into the other group, it becomes very difficult for us when we're trying to advocate on behalf of the community to really be able to paint the picture for people to understand.
What about that, Kimiko? Because at one point, I believe in the 90s, the Asian Pacific community was the fastest growing minority in the country. They have since been supplanted by Latinos, but what does this portend for the future?
Well, we're still equally growing as fast as Latinos. We're just not as large. But I think that this report is really, really important in pointing out that we have to disaggregate the data. We can't look at Asians as a whole, because as a whole, we are hovering around the average socioeconomically. That's because half of the community is doing very well. But the other half, it's not all hovered around the average, that we have a wide range. We have some that are very poor, that have really barriers in attaining higher levels of education, and that we have to be aware that there are very different groups within the community. And so we have to be aware that this is not just one big homogenous group.
Kimiko Kelly is a research analyst with the Asian Pacific American Legal Center. She joined us here in our studios in L.A. Terry Au is a staff attorney for the National Asian Pacific American Legal Consortium. She joined us from Washington, D.C. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.